13. We want to once again say welcome to all of our visitors. It's good to have you in the Lord's house today. Good to see everybody. We have some that are out, some that are traveling. Brother James is traveling. I know he would appreciate our prayers. Lots going on. So we have a lot to pray about. But I want to try to preach this morning out of Leviticus, chapter number 13. This is an odd passage of Scripture, but we're going to look here and read a few verses. Leviticus, chapter number 13. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 47. I really want to deal with down through the end of the chapter, verse number 59. But we're going to stop at verse number 52. So, Leviticus chapter 13, verse number 47. The Bible says, "The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the 7th day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for letting us be here today. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given us. And dear God, I pray for your help today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would help us as only you can. I pray, Lord, that you give great liberty to preach thy word. And Lord, that you'd help us to have ears of understanding, a heart that's open unto thy word. And Lord, that you would help your people today. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, all the many objects of prayer. Lord, I thank you for all the answers to prayer this week. Lord, we've got a lot going on and a lot to pray about, but we have had several answers to prayer. And I thank you, Lord, that you hear and answer our prayers. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're working. Lord, even when we can't even see any physical evidence of it, and we wonder sometimes, but Lord, we know that you're working underneath, behind the scenes. You're doing things that we can't even see. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, all the many things that have been mentioned this morning, we bring before your presence one more time and ask that you would help as only you can. Have your way right now. Don't let anything hinder. We'll thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 51 one more time and we'll get started this morning. Verse 51 says, "And he shall look on the plague on the 7th day, if the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof." Now, this has nothing to do with the message, but what is the warp and the woof of a garment? It's talking about a piece of fabric. And if you think about something being upon a loom, being woven, it's the cross. Where the garments cross lengthwise, the other direction, one is the warp, one is the woof, and that's just for your information. That's got nothing to do, but as I read this, I had to find out what's that talking about. I thought a woof had something to do with a dog, but it doesn't. It's talking about the garment, the way that it's woven. The webbing, we might say, is what that is talking about. But then it says after the warp or in the woof, or in a skin, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. I want to try to preach this morning on the subject of a fretting leprosy, and I'll explain what that is as the message goes on. But first, I want to say just a little bit about leprosy in the Bible. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin, and Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter number 14 deals with the subject of leprosy under the Old Testament law. It is a very long chapter. It's a very detailed chapter, but in Leviticus chapter number 13, it begins to talk about leprosy, and leprosy was an infectious disease. It was a debilitating disease. It might start off small. It might be contained for years. It may grow. It was just a very, it is very unpredictable disease as far as how bad it would get and how long it would take to get to that point. But it was eventually, it would be debilitating. It would get to a person where they just basically rotted from the inside out. It's very horrible. It's an incurable disease. There's no known cure for leprosy. And it worked on a person, began on the inside and worked its way to the outside. And as we see about leprosy and study it out in the Bible, it would lead to a very lonely life. It's a very horrible way to live. It would be a very horrible death that the person would eventually come upon them. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned." Spiritually speaking, we are all lepers. We're all under the sentence of death. We're all going to die, and there's not a thing in the world that any of us can do about it. It is not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Is it going to catch up to us? When is it going to take us out to the grave? And as we think about that, the only hope for us is salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. Salvation is in Him. Left to ourselves, we'll die without Christ. We'll die and go to that awful place called hell. We have to be saved. We must meet the Master. He's the only one that has the cure. But Leviticus chapter 13 and verses 1 through verse number 46 deals with leprosy in a person and what to do if that person was a leper. Now look, for example, in verse number 46, the Bible said there, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him." You might want to underline that in your Bible. "All the days that the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone." A man that was a leper couldn't live with everybody else. He had to live on the outside. And if he met somebody on the road before he got near them, he'd have to cry out and say, "Unclean, unclean." Very lonely life. Can you imagine living like that? That's how the leper had to live. He should live alone. He'll dwell alone. "Without the camp shall his habitation be." Then you begin in verse number 47. And in my Bible, I've drawn a line between verse 46 and verse number 47. Because it begins to talk about something else that has to do with leprosy. Beginning in verse number 47 through verse number 59, we begin to learn about leprosy on the outside of a person. But the first 46 verses deals with the leprosy in him, but in verse number 47, the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be. This is talking about an object. This is talking about a thing. This is talking about a garment. We're talking now about leprosy on the outside. And I want to just say by way of introduction, and the introduction is probably about half the message, but just want you to notice some things in verse number 47. It says the garment. The garment. Before, it's been talking about leprosy in a man. Now it's talking about something on the outside of a man or a woman or in a household. It's talking about a garment. A garment is not something that is in you, but a garment is something that is on you. It is something that you put on you. It is something that is very near you. It is something that is with you probably all the time or most of the time. It is something that identifies you. You may know somebody by their jacket. You may know somebody by their dress. Maybe you do not see them up close enough to recognize their face, but they've got a certain color or a certain style of jacket that they wear, and you begin to know them by their clothing, by the garments which they wear. When you're talking about a garment, it is a very personal thing. You know, in our house, we don't wash the clothes and throw them in a big pile and you just go get what you want. We all have our own garments. I have my own socks. I have my own shirts. I have my own pants and my own jackets, and they're in my closet and it's my stuff. A garment is a very personal thing. It identifies you. It is close to you. The word means this, the garment. It means a covering, clothing, apparel, a robe. In those days, they wore a robe on the outside. They wore a robe-type garment on the inside. It could be a blanket. A covering, this garment could. I got to thinking about this. At our house, we all have our own blankets. Do you at your house? Chloe carries around a purple blanket like Linus carried his around. Drags that thing around all the time. You'd better not get her purple blanket. Abigail has a green and white blanket, and if she's sitting in there, she came in from work yesterday. First thing she did, she got comfortable and she got her blanket, and I came in, I saw her sitting there on the inside, her blanket. I have mine on the back of my chair. Kim has hers on the back of her chair. That is our garment. That is ours. It is close to us. We don't use each other. Better not use my blanket. Come get it from you. That's mine. Mine is manly. It has a bear and an outdoor scene on it. Theirs are all girly. I don't even want to use their blanket. A garment is a personal thing, is what I'm talking about. Now, the way that this is applied spiritually to us, you say, preacher, what's that got to do with us today? In the New Testament, in the book of Jude, only one chapter in the book of Jude, in the end of that chapter, Jude gives a sevenfold duty for believers to build up themselves on their most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, witnessing, having compassion on others. But one of those things, the Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 23, it says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. A garment, remember, something that is very close to you, very personal to you. Notice here in verse number 51 what the Bible says in the last part of the verse. The plague is a fretting leprosy. A fretting leprosy. This is very interesting to me. This is the first time you find the word fret in the Bible. This is how I came to this message, or how the Lord directed me. I was studying about worrying. And what do we talk when we use the word worry? A lot of times we say, don't fret about it. The first time the word fret is mentioned in the Word of God is right here. And it is mentioned in connection with the word leprosy, which is a disease that eats you up from the inside out. The Word of God said it is a fretting leprosy. The word fret, it comes from a word which means this: to devour, to consume, to eat up. It, in the Hebrew language, it means to be bitter, to be painful. Isn't it fitting that these two words go together in the Bible? A fretting leprosy. Fretting. I'm not preaching this morning about being saved from sin. I'm not asking you if you've been saved from sin, if you've been cleansed from sin. I'm not preaching about the first 46 verses, but what I want to preach about today is being surrounded by sin and what it will do to us if we do not do something about what is closest to us. How it'll eat you up. How it'll devour you. How it will destroy you from the inside out. And I ask you this morning, what is it that is eating you up? What is it that is devouring you, that is sucking all the energy out of your life and that is consuming you and robbing you of joy and victory and peace and the Holy Ghost? What is it that you're fretting about today? It is a fretting leprosy we're going to be looking at. What is it that's robbing you of a sound mind that you're worrying about, stressing about, blowing up about? It is a fretting leprosy a lot of times. Say, oh, preacher, I know I've been saved. Why are so many without victory, without joy, without any power, can't pray, can't witness to nobody? What's eating you up on the inside? It is a fretting leprosy. What do you do about a fretting leprosy? Let me show you four things from the Word of God. Number one, the fretting leprosy must be confessed. Look at verse 47. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or the woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, it did not matter if the garment was from the animal kingdom or the vegetable kingdom. Didn't matter what it was made of. Any type of skin. Verse 49, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy. Now watch this and underline it. And shall be showed unto the priest. It must, first of all, it must be confessed. It must be showed unto the priest. The Israelite that found in his garment what he thought might be leprosy, a mildew, a mark, a spot, anything that was suspicious. It might be in his robe. It might be in a blanket. It might be grandma made a quilt years ago, and it's been handed down through the generations. It might be something that's very close to that family. But if they found that leprosy in a garment and ignored it, and that's how we do a lot of times. Something, there's a spot, there is a problem in our lives, and instead of confessing it before the Lord, we choose to hide that thing. They said, well, I don't know if that's anything or not. I'll just cover up my robe. I'll put a big sash around it. Nobody will see that. That's not really anything. It was still there. I'll just turn my blanket around and turn it upside down, cover it up with something else. It was still there. There's a lot of ways we go about hiding things in our life, but I'm telling you, it's still there. And it'll still cause problems down the road. I'll tell you why so many Christians live without victory. Preacher David was preaching this morning on the radio. He said the very things about people quitting and getting discouraged and giving up and quitting church and all of these things. Why so many blow up and lose their testimony and never have any joy? Well, what is the problem, preacher? A lot of people have a pet named Fret. They got something in their lives that they love. It might be a pet sin in their life, and it's destroying them from the inside out. It may be a pet friend that they have. It may be a pet, you name it this morning. It may be a pet of worry. I am continually amazed how many of God's people are consumed with worrying about this and worrying about that. If you think that's spiritual, I'm telling you something, that is not spiritual. Did Jesus ever worry about one thing? No, he did not. God has not called us to be professional worriers. Worry is just as much a sin as drunkenness and any other thing you want to mention this morning. It screams, I don't have faith that God can. And that's why we say, don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be consumed with it. It could be 100. It could be 1,000 different things we could preach on this morning. But what is it? Boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, they've got a pet called fret, and it's there, and they love it, and it's killing them. But they won't get rid of it. Sometimes you just need to get rid of some things. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself this morning, but the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. God doesn't say to cover it up, but that's exactly what we do. There it is. There's the fret. And instead of confessing it before the Lord, we cover it. We hide it. And if that's the way you are today, I'm going to tell you, you'll never get any help from God until you're willing to confess sin as sin and confess whatever it is for exactly what it is. If we confess our sins, I'm going to read over in 1 John. I know you know these verses. But 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Oh, I've heard it hundreds of times. I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm not hurting anybody, preacher. That's not hurting anybody but me. And I can quit anytime I want to. And I can do this and I can do that. Bible said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then it goes on and says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. His word is not in us. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You'd better not go by the court of public opinion. You'd better go by what the Word of God says. What does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible teach about it? The Bible said over in Leviticus chapter number 13, show it unto the priest. Show it unto the priest. That is not some man. I don't want nobody coming to me, preacher, I need to confess something to you. No, you'd better confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find in the church of the living God that some man is a priest, that he is to take confessionals from people. But the Bible said in Hebrews 4 and verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You need to show it unto the great high priest. You need to confess it unto the Lord. Let me tell you, He already knows all about it anyway. And He's standing ready, willing, and able to help if only we would show it unto Him. That song this morning, Come Unto Me, if I could have picked out a song that would have went right along with what I was preaching about this morning, I couldn't have picked out one that would have went out any better. Are you stumbling along on a treacherous path? I mean, this all five verses, I've never really noticed them like I noticed them this morning. But the Lord said, no matter what your problem is, come unto me, come unto me. But you got to get to the point. There's no help for anybody that will not just come right out and say, it's sin, I confess it. As soon as they noticed there was something in a garment, they were not to decide for themselves whether or not it was right or wrong. They was to show it unto the priest. It must be confessed. Number two, look back in Leviticus chapter 13, verse number 50. It must be contained. Verse 50 said, and the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. That Israelite that had a leprosy in his garment and brought it unto the priest and showed it unto the priest. Priest, what do you think about that? He didn't go home with that garment. The priest took it. If you'll get a hold of this, this will help you in your Christian life. The priest took the garment and he shut it up somewhere for 7 days. And so between the owner and the garment itself, there was a complete separation. There was a containment of that leprosy. There was a quarantine. But here's what we do a whole lot of times in church today. We come before the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, forgive me. I've confessed. The Lord's forgiven me. But we go right out and do the same thing the next day. That's not being very serious about our situation. That's not being very realistic about the Lord's forgiveness, that we can go and sin and sin and sin and just go right out the next day or maybe sometimes the same day and do the same things over and over and over again. There was a containment of that garment. You're not serious about victory over sin in your life until you are willing to repent. Until we are willing to separate from that sin, whatever it is. That's what it was. They came, confessed it, showed it unto the priest, but it was shut up from them for a period of 7 days. Don't tell me, oh, I want to quit drinking, and you're in the bar the next week. Don't tell me I've got a problem with pornography, preacher. I've got a problem with looking at things I ought not to be looking at. Hey, you know what? You need to get the internet out of your house. You need to turn your smartphone in and get a one you can't look at nothing on. You got to do something. Amen. Go right back into the lion's den, as we might say. Going and doing the same things. I'm telling you, it might be a TV. It's your problem. Say, preacher, I can't grow and get close to the Lord. My devotional life, my prayer life. Well, let me tell you something. If you're spending 35, 40 hours a week watching TV, you're not going to be very spiritual. I promise you that. I'm not saying go home and throw your TV out, but I'm telling you a lot of times that is the very stumbling block that keeps us walking in darkness instead of the light, and you know you're saved. You don't have no victory in your life. Try opening up the Word of God first thing in the morning instead of your tablet, instead of your laptop, instead of whatever it is that's drawing you away, that's keeping you doing the same things over and over and the same defeat over and over. It's a fretting leprosy. It must be contained. Whatever it is, might be a healthy relationship, unhealthy relationship in your life. Maybe your friends in your life dragging you back, dragging you down. It must be contained. It was shut up for 7 days. There was a separation there. Number three, it must be contemplated. Now look at verse number 51. The Bible said, and this is after the 7 days, and it's talking about the high priest. Or the priest. and he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. After 7 days, they got it out. They looked at it again. They looked to see if it had grown. They looked to see if it had changed in color. They inspected it. They contemplated it. Look in verse number 53. And if the priest shall look and behold the plague be not spread. Look at verse number 55. And the priest shall look on the plague. There's a day of inspection. There's a day of looking. There's a day of contemplation. You see, and it is the priest that takes this seriously. And he's going to look upon this. And he's going to discern what the diagnosis is. And he's going to pronounce it to be either clean or unclean. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse number 23, David said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." The heart of man is a very complicated thing. It's a very intricate thing. And let me tell you this morning, it is one thing that you and I cannot trust. It's your heart. You know that advice, follow your heart? That's bad advice. Jeremiah 17:9 said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And these people out here, they say, "Oh yeah, I'm saved, but..." And my Lord, they're into the most awful, abominable, wicked, sinful lifestyle you can imagine in your life. "Oh yeah, preacher, I'm saved. Just following my heart. I think this is what God wants me to do." You better not listen to your heart. It's deceitful. It's wicked. It'll lead you wrong. It'll lead you away from God. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 7, "For from within, out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications," on and on and on he goes. Your heart will allow you to justify anything under the sun. If a little boy goes to school and he's fighting every day, is he going to school and fighting every day because he loves to fight, or because there's something else going on? You better find out what else is going on at home. There's always something else. You see, there's the outside sin. There's the obvious sin. And we say we need to get rid of that. But let me tell you, there's always something going on underneath. And that's what that priest is going to find out, what's going on underneath this thing. Can this thing really be taken care of or not? Somebody says, "Oh, preacher, I'm a drunkard and I'm drinking, you know, just can't help it." You know what? I've never talked to a person that was a real drunkard that just loved what they was doing. Just loved everything about it. No, most of them hates it. I've had people tell me, "I hate it. I wish I could stop." It's not the it. And if they ever really get any help, they got to deal with what's underneath all that junk. There's something else going on. There's something else going on. Lust goes on. I'm telling you, all kinds of things goes on in our hearts. Our hearts are wicked and desperately wicked, the Bible says. What's going on underneath? I found this in the Bible as I studied about the word fret. Fretting in the Bible is mentioned several times. I'm just going to give you a small list this morning. Some things that can cause us to fret. Number one, what others say. What others think. Boy, in our society, that seems to be so important. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, it's talking about Hannah over there. The Bible said in verse 6, "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." Hannah couldn't have any children. But her wife-in-law, would that be how you explain that? She could have children. And Peninnah, she provoked Hannah very sore. I'm sure she carried her little youngins around and run it under Hannah's nose and all kinds of stuff. But everything she done, I'm telling you, it drove Hannah crazy. Made her fret over that. What others say, what others do. In our society, we would say that Peninnah, this other woman that it's talking about, she was a bully. Running that mouth. Making Hannah feel inferior. Making her feel bad. What others say, whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, it bothers us and makes us fret. What others say. I got to quickly go through this. What others do. Psalms 37 in verse number 1. The Bible says over there, fret not thyself because of evil doers. Because of evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You ever catch yourself reading the newspaper? Or watching the news in the afternoon? There's always more. At my house, if the news is on, there's always more commentary than just the people talking on TV. Because I'm going to put my two cents in whether anybody else hears it or not. That bunch of, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. And I'm telling you, it'll make your spirituality go through the bottom of the floor. If you get consumed about evildoers and what they're doing, they're always going to be doing their evil stuff. And although we are to oppose things and we are to be light and salt in a lost world, you cannot allow yourself to get sucked into fretting about the evildoers. We come to prayer a few Saturday mornings ago. It's my fault. And we was getting ready to meet together and have a good time of prayer. And I said this, why does people have to get on your tail when there's only two cars on the whole road? I was coming over here to church and somebody got right up on my bumper and rode me all the way out the back. And that burns me up. We's only two people on the road. What is this, a NASCAR race? Are you drafting off of me going 40 miles an hour? And buddy, I just get them down the road. As I was going down the road, then I got to prayer and I mentioned it and that got it started. Seems to be we all don't like that. Now let's pray. Fret not yourself. It's not a sin to tailgate somebody, but please don't do that. It bothers some people. What others do, what other people are doing, if you let it, it'll just ruin you. Isn't there anything you can do about it? Because of what others do. Number three, because of what others have. The Bible said in Psalms 37, 7, it said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fret not thyself, the Bible says, because of him that prospereth in his way. It's talking about wicked people. Why is their house paid for? Why are they driving all these new cars and they're all paid for it? And why is it bad at my house and good at their house and they're wicked and I'm trying to live for God and I'm having trouble and they're getting along just fine? And they've got all this stuff. And I'd like to have a little something. You get in that type of mindset, it'll fret you to death. What others have. Number four, sometimes we fret about what God does. We fret about what God does. Proverbs 19, verse 3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. His heart fretteth against the Lord. That word means over there, it means to boil up, to be peevish or angry. Have you ever been mad at God? Just be honest. You ever been mad at God? blamed God for this, blamed God for that, sat around before the Lord, Lord, why this and why that? Fretteth against the Lord, the foolishness of man perverteth his way and his heart. Fretteth, I'm mad at you, Lord. Oh, you've been there. If you've lived any length of time at all, you've asked God why this and why that, and you've been mad and peevish towards the Lord. That's like acting like a little kid. His heart fretteth. Why? You may never find out why. It may be that you're not supposed to know why. But let me tell you something this morning. If you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the devil. God's trying to everything to bless and help. And boy, it's going to be different one of these days. But it's not going to help you to be mad at God now. Because you don't know everything and neither do I. We get mad at the Lord sometimes. I've told this before. I'm going to quickly tell it again. When the Lord called us to come back to North Carolina from Idaho, and it's got nothing to do with y'all or Mount Lebanon, that I didn't want to come here. I did want to come here. I felt like it was God's will for me to come here. But I was mad at the Lord because my way of thinking, I was like, it's a long way to Mount Lebanon through Idaho. Why'd I have to go from North Carolina as a missionary all the way out there? And I spent 3.5 years and God sent us right back here. And I told everybody what we need is missionaries to go and spend their life and spend all their days and not come back. And I'd said this going and coming and going and coming. And here God sent me right back. I was ashamed. I didn't understand. I was confused. And I went through several cycles of that, and finally in revival, when Preacher Eric was here, I just come, got on the altar, I said, God, you got to take this away. I don't want to die like this. He took it away. But what was going on? My heart was fretting against the Lord. The devil knows how to come along, stir up anything you'll give him. If you'll give him a little door opening, he will stick his foot in there and take full advantage of it. And you'll begin to fret against God and be mad towards the Lord. But a fretting leprosy is something that only He can help us with. But it's got to be identified. It's got to be pinpointed. This might be on the outside, but what is it underneath the surface that is going on? That's what God wants to get to. It's got to be contemplated. It's got to be, number four, and I'm closing, it must be cleansed. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, that's not a light thing. That's a serious thing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was the aim of everything going on in chapter number 13. That this fretting leprosy would either be pronounced clean or unclean. But it has to be taken care of. Now, there's still a lot of preaching in this, but I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm just going to mention it. There's several options with the fretting leprosy in a garment. Number one would be to burn it. Look chapter 50, verse number 52. He shall therefore burn that garment. Look at verse 57. It says the last part of it, verse 52. It shall be burnt in the fire. Verse number 55. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward. Verse 57, the last part, thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. When something is burnt up, there is a complete and final separation. It is gone. There's a lot of times, there's some things in our life just needs to be burnt up. And only the Lord can do it. And I believe that is a picture of the work of the Holy Ghost of God that would burn things up in our lives. On the day of Pentecost, there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire set upon them. That's the work of the Holy Ghost of God. Burn it up. There's some things just need to be burnt up. Gone forever. Burn it, he said. Number two, you could try to wash it. Verse 54, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing. Verse 55, and the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed. The Bible said, verse number 58, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the relationship of the Lord and the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. The word of God will clean you up. What's going on that we're fretting about? Bathe it in the word of God. It could be washed. It could be rent out of the garden. It could be torn out in verse 56. And if the priest look and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. There's a certain situation where if it didn't spread and it was contained in one place, that the priest could take and just rip it out. I know how people are, but priest, that's my grandma's blanket that she gave to me. Don't do that. Your blankie, your favorite blankie, may be the thing that's killing you. It don't matter where it's come from. If it needs to be ripped out, torn out, rip it out, tear it out. Rip it out. It'd be better to have a blanket with a hole in it than it would to be no blanket at all. So I'd just take one that had a hole in it. In my life, there's some holes. God took that out. God ripped that out. God took care of that. That's all right. Rip it out. Rend it out. Or it could be pronounced clean. In the last part of verse 58, after it said, rend it out of the garment or out of the skin or out of the warp or out of the woof. Let's see the last part of verse 58. Then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. There is victory in Jesus, although we don't act like it sometimes. He can help us with our fretting leprosy, and it can be taken away. But we'll have to be honest like David, who said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Make me clean. Make me clean. Have you ever gotten a place in your life, you just look around and, my goodness, you don't know how it happened or when it happened, but you're just not what you was. You're not what you ought to be. Create in me a clean heart, O God. It's what David said. I remember when we lived in England, and every once in a while we'd go to London and we'd spend the day and we'd stay down there all day and we'd ride the train back late that evening, and we'd just been down there in that city, and all of us, after being in the city all day long, we'd just say to each other, I just feel nasty. I don't know about now, but it's just a dirty place. And you just felt like you could just wipe it off your face and off your hands and off your skin. It just felt grimy. We get like that spiritually sometimes. We need the Lord to just clean us up and help us get where we ought to be and how we ought to be. Whatever that takes, burn it up, wash it, tear it out, whatever it takes. And here's why it's so important. In verse number 47, and I'm closing, the garment also. The garment. Here's why this is so important. Because if that leprosy was in my jacket, what is in you, what is on you, is eventually going to get in you. What is closest to you, what you are surrounded by, what you are familiar with, what you are comfortable with, What is on you is going to get in you. And that's why right after the leprosy on the inside, he begins to deal with leprosy on the outside. Because you sure don't want it to get inside. You think it's a problem now, you wait till it gets inside and begins to grow and get rooted. You ought to be very afraid of it. Because it'll get in you. Because it's your garment. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.